Hello, Mike? No? Okay, alright. Let's go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and call our May 12th, 2020 virtual meeting to order. And let me switch the screen share here. Okay, you should be able to see the flag. I'm going to request a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag and the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, let me switch back here. All right, did everybody see the agenda again?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Joel, roll call.
Okay, Mark Saller?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Present.
Dave Bench?
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay, let's see, 466-6834, is that Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah, that's me, Mark.
Okay, great. I'm going to try to rename you here. Okay, very good. Got it. All right, full minutes. Chance to look at the minutes from April 28th?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Was Bo?
Yeah.
And David, was that you second?
Yes.
Okay. Joel?
Roll call Mark Saller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Very good. Okay, Joel, fiscal officer report.
Did everybody receive the email the other day with the reports?
Yes, I did.
We have receipts, deposits since last meeting, fund status, and payments. We have electronic payments 592020 through 672020, and then warrant numbers 18632 through warrant numbers 18665. That total is $32,374.10. Deposits since last virtual meeting totals $27,388.98. A fund status report shows $259,259.69 in the checking account, with $596,120.26 in the investment account.
Okay. Joel, anything unusual to bring to our attention?
No, I don't think so. Just stop spending money, I guess. Always helps.
All right, is there a motion to approve the financials as stated?
I so move.
Dave was a motion, and then Bo seconded. Roll call, Mark Saller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Motion carried.
For a few minutes here. There's just a little background coming through. Okay. All right. Jules, county certification of funds for upcoming levies?
Has everybody received the two resolutions notifying the Board of Elections to place the ballot, the recreation and the road and bridge levy on the ballot this November?
Let me make sure I understand. Those were the two resolutions that we signed and you sent us as PDFs.
A few meetings ago, you approved the county auditor to approve the funds for the recreation levy and the 1 mil road and bridge levy. Those came back from the county auditor. Now you have to make a resolution
okay.
or pass a resolution
okay.
asking right. the county election board. So it doesn't matter which one you do first. I guess, Mark, which one were you going to do first?
Let me see. Let me pull it up here. Okay, why don't we start with the... resolution to proceed to place a renewal levy for parks and recreation purposes on the November 3rd, 2020 ballot. The Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees met at 7. You want me to cover the whole thing, Joel?
No, you can summarize it because
okay.
it's a lot right. to read.
It's a lot. Okay, so whereas a resolution declaring the necessity of levying a renewal tax under RC 5705.19, outside the 10 mil limitation will be insufficient to provide an adequate amount for the necessary requirements of Jerusalem Township, Lucas County, Ohio. Whereas the Board of Trustees passed a resolution of necessity to place the 0.75 mil renewal levy on the November 3rd, 2020 ballot. Whereas the Board of Trustees have received the necessary certification of revenue for the renewal levy from Lucas County Auditor, be it now therefore resolved by the Board of Trustees of all members enacted there concurring that it is necessary to levy a renewal tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation for the benefit of Jerusalem Township for parks and recreation purposes, a rate of 0.75 mils for each $1 valuation, which amounts to no dollars and 75 cents for each. Joel, that's 75 cents, right? Not 0.075?
No. It'd be 0.075.
0.075 cents.
1 mil would be 10 cents.
Okay. All right. Yeah, technically, this is 7.5 one hundredths of a penny.
Well,
did you want to amend that? Because this is going to be 7.5 cents, right? No dollars and 7.5 cents?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. That's fine. Well, as long as you get it, and then we'll sign the version that you have.
I just moved the decimal point over too far.
Two places. So that will be 7.5 cents for each $100 of valuation for a period of 5 years. Be it further resolved that the renewal levy will be placed on the tax list of the current tax year. commencing in 2020, first due in calendar 2021. The question of the renewal shall be submitted to the electors of Jerusalem Township Tuesday, November 3rd of 2020. Be it further resolved that the fiscal officer is hereby directed to certify a copy of the resolution along with the Lucas County Auditor's certification to the Board of Elections not less than 90 days before the general election on November 3rd, 2020. Is there a motion to approve, or to adopt, the resolution?
I so move.
That's David?
Yes.
I can second that.
Bo seconded? Okay, very good. Okay, Joel, roll call.
Oh, I'm just writing this down. Give me a second.
Sure.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Now the next one then is, this is the resolution to place the renewal levy for the purpose of general construction, reconstruction, resurfacing, and repair of streets, roads, and bridges in Jerusalem Township on the November 3rd, 2020 ballot. Whereas a resolution declaring the necessity of a renewal tax outside the 10 mil limitation would be insufficient to provide an adequate amount or the necessary requirements. Whereas the Board of Trustees has passed the resolution of necessity to place a 1 mil renewal levy on the November 3rd, 2020 ballot. Whereas the Board of Trustees have received the necessary certification of revenue for the renewal levy from the Lucas County Auditor. Be it therefore now resolved by the board and all members elected thereto concurring that it is necessary to levy a renewal tax in excess. And this is for the purpose of general construction, reconstruction, resurfacing, and repair of streets, roads, and bridges in municipal corporations, counties, or townships, a rate of 1.0 mils for each $1 evaluation, which amounts to no dollars and Joel, this will be no dollars and 10 cents, right? 10 cents for every $100 evaluation?
Yeah, correct.
We just need to move that decimal place two to the right as well. On the cents.
It's $1 per 1,000, and that's 100. So it would be 10 cents, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but this is 0.1.
Isn't that 10 cents?
So you just need to move the decimal point two places to the right, so it is 10 cents per $100, right?
Well, that's how you write a change, isn't it? So it wouldn't still be 0.10 is 10 cents? Is it just...
Well, $0.10 would be 10 cents, but this is 0.10 cents.
I'll just remove the decimal point, and it'll be 10 cents.
Yeah, perfect.
That's just a grammatical error then.
Be it further resolved that the renewal tax levy be placed on the tax list of the current tax year commencing in 2020, first due in calendar 2021. Be it further resolved that the question of such a levy shall be submitted to the electors of Jerusalem Township. Election to be held Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. And the fiscal officer is hereby directed to certify a copy of the resolution, along with the Lucas County Auditor's certification, to the Board of Elections, not less than 90 days before the general election on November 3rd, 2020, and notifying the Board of Elections to cause the notice of election on the question of levying tax to be given as a matter of law. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
I so move.
That's David.
I can second that, Mark.
Okay, Bo's seconded. Okay, Joel, roll call.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Joel, you're going to leave those in your office. We'll just each come in individually and sign off.
Yeah, all resolutions, I guess, should be that. We should just leave them here, and then we come down and sign them when we get a chance. So we.
That's fine. We can do that. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Anything else, Joel, for fiscal officer report?
No, not on your agenda. We were good.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you very much. Chief Tony.
Well, good evening, everyone. First, we'll start out with a safety note. We're finally going to get some better weather, and that allows more people to get out, more active. So just be careful when we're outside and think of what we're doing. Stretch a little bit before you do any real strenuous work. And enjoy the weather. On the COVID aspect of things, we are doing very well. As far, I'm not known to any confirmed cases of COVID that has arrived here in Jerusalem Township or that we have had to deal with. We will continue to wear our PPE and be diligent and be careful. So we may ramp down some of the appearance of our PPE, but it's on a case-by-case basis on the information that we have at hand. I did reach out to the EOC. They are going to restock us on some masks, surgical masks that we've used out of our stock. So. Just kind of replenishing and getting re-prepared for the what if. And but I'm very pleased with our responders. Everyone's doing a good job, and the public has been fantastic. I mean, the people that we have to go serve, you know, they're very understanding of the situation of what we're trying to deal with, and they're very respectful for us. And I really appreciate our citizens. And their patience and cooperation. You know, sometimes people are in a pretty stressful situation, but they've been really good, and I've appreciated serving them, and our crews have too. I need to give kudos to our fire inspector, which is Joel Moskowitz. I am thoroughly pleased with the activities that have gotten done. A very good majority of our businesses have been inspected and have been re-inspected for recommendations and corrections and stuff like that. So just really, really pleased with that. And thank you, sir, for doing a great job.
Nice job, Joel.
The fire department is asked to help the food pantry tomorrow. So... you know, it's neat to see, too, the community. There's a lot of good people out there giving a lot of their time and setting up this food pantry and doing that. And I know in addition, tomorrow we have the Ohio Guard will be here also dispensing foods tomorrow, too. So that's something a little bit different. But you know, we're going to try and just help out to try and keep the traffic flow moving in a nice direction for the automatic pickup. Or the drive-through pickup, I should say. Hey, another thanks needs to go out to Kevin Chapman for finding some dispensers and hand sanitizing. He was able to get the fire department, we installed three automatic hand sanitizers in the station, and I greatly appreciate that, and we're doing everything to try and put that reminder out there, wash hands, wash hands, wash hands. So thank you, sir, for that help. Another really, really good thing, I was contacted by Clay High School. We had a meeting between the fire department, the police department, and the Sundance Drive-In Theater. The students are going to have a modified graduation recognition. It will be on May 31st. The gates at the drive-in theater will open around 8 o'clock, and then at 9 o'clock the video will begin, and they'll be displaying all of the students' photos on the screens. And so although it's going to be quite different from any other graduation, I'm happy, personally happy that they've done something for our students and give them, try and give them something special. It'll be something that they'll never forget for sure. So we'll be assisting, and we may have a fire truck or some piece of equipment up there to show support for that night. I wanted to share with you, I did receive our bids for the roof repairs. So I have two phases of bids. I have a short bid repair, and then I've gotten a large estimated repair for the other building. I will share those information to you in more detail. I'm watching the roof very closely. We're not showing any leaks or anything. I'm really not opting to do any repairs at this time, but I needed the starting point to have an understanding of what the costs were. So I do have my quotes have come in-house. Mm-hmm. I did explain to these contractors that we may or may not do any of these repairs right now, but kind of just dancing through this COVID thing and the financial situation, and we'll see where we're going to go from there. Please, the fiscal officer has written a correspondence to the dealership for the new truck, so everything is in play and everything's moving in the right direction for the truck. I did reach out to find out about the skid unit, and we're waiting for some information back from them. Again, this whole thing, we don't know where, how manufacturers and all this stuff are dealing with all of these interruptions that COVID has put in play. Other than that, we don't have a lot of people attending the drills. I had an officers' meeting tonight with my officers, and we are going to elect to begin a soft start of training together. We won't violate the more than 10 recommendations or more than 10 participants. So we're looking at a soft start on this and to get it moving forward. But in lieu of that, the department has been doing online education training and receiving certificates for that. But I'm still even seeing more and more information from the fire marshal's office, more and more classes or conferences are still being canceled at this time. Some are trying to find another date further into later in the summer months, but it's all tentative at this point. As far as COVID cases as our responders, I'm sure everyone has seen the numbers of that. Unfortunately, Lucas County took a high number on the amount of deaths, which was an unfortunate number to get. But as far as our first responders, that has really dropped down. I just looked at the numbers right now, and we're right about 18, and most of them are all law enforcement. Things are going pretty well. I'm open for any questions at this time.
Okay, any questions for the chief?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you, chief. Thanks for your report.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike Skatowski, Recreation Department report.
Hello, everyone. We'll get right at it. Programming-wise, the Oregon Rec has met with about the summer programming. Everything is kind of put on hold. I have a message tonight that possibly Thursday the governor will say something about outdoor recreation. I haven't heard that. Just someone messaged me about an hour ago. So we'll wait to see what happens with that. They did send out a survey asking community members how late they would feel comfortable starting the spring season and summer season. So hopefully with that feedback and what the governor says, hopefully we get some kind of answer of anything soon. So I will keep you posted on all that as soon as it comes in, and keep moving forward. As far as the fields have been mowed. Kevin, Eric mowed them. They look good. I will get out there this week and trim them all out. I did drag them. They're all drugged. did a little bit of maintenance out there. So everything is about ready to go. We'll wait till it gets a little closer, then I'll dress them all up and they'll be perfect. I am waiting to see what happens. I will mulch around the trees and all that stuff in the next, as soon as I get word about anything, to make it a little more presentable, a little nicer out there. So I will take care of that when that time comes. The last thing I have was a shipping container. As much as, okay, we talked about this in detail at our last time our group got together. We don't have an exact date. We have it somewhere between, it's been there between 5 and up to 7 years. Wouldn't that be grandfathered in?
Linda, if you're on the line, are you able to respond to that question?
Yes, it would be grandfathered in. It's just a matter of the township showing good faith because the township changed the zoning code.
Okay, then also that goes with that. I looked it up, and that area is still zoned agricultural. And aren't those allowed in agricultural zone areas?
Only if you're actively engaged in farming.
So does that zoning, doesn't pertain then to that?
Correct. It's kind of like a house being built on an AR lot. That doesn't mean that you go with agricultural zoning. The law is for agricultural use, so you have to be, the key term is, you have to be actively engaged in farming if you use the agricultural exemption.
Okay, so... what's up with the grandfather? What do I need to do in order to make that happen or not happen?
You know, that's up to the trustees. I mean, right now it's a violation that we've added to our zoning code because of the issue, and after a lot of forethought and discussion, and this went to the zoning board, went down to Lucas County to the plan commission, and then we had to have trustee approval. We went through all that. And so, yes, is the township shipping container grandfathered? Absolutely. But again, it goes to, so how can I send violations out to people that bring them in and they say, but the township has one? It's just a matter of good faith.
Well, there's an actual date, isn't there, like the 2017 that was approved? Was that when that was changed?
Something like that.
So any of them that come in prior or after 2017, you have the law. It was put in 2017. Anything prior to that would be grandfathered.
Correct.
That's the way I understood it too.
Okay. Well, the next thing I would like to say is, the way that it was handled, I felt like we got treated unfairly, and so does the board. Just the way that it was approached and handled. We understand that you're trying to get those out of the township. It was those, the members on the board already were aware that was going on. That they brought up the fact to me that it was zone agricultural and it should be grandfathered in, which I agree with everything you guys are saying and everything those guys are saying. If you want to clean up the township, and that's a big thing that you're trying to do, and I understand it's township property, we would need to look at different options to replace that. we would ask for that to be put back for 60 to 90 days until we can get a different type of building erected in its place.
I'm good with that. I'm good with putting it back. Hey, Linda, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still on.
Okay, so let's take it a step further on this. If we put it back in good faith, the since it was grandfathered in, could we ask for good faith from the rec board instead of them erecting a new shed there that they make that more presentable to look more like a building? Would that be, since it is ours technically, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, as far as them, instead of them spending the money to build another shed and to do that, if they made it more presentable, what I'm gathering is it's grandfathered in, so they're good to keep it, but instead of them building a new building, what if they were to put some money towards it and make it more presentable?
I would imagine that you can do that. I will say that skinning a shipping container probably would be just as much as buying one of those little sheds that you can pull in there that's 200 square feet. Because you can put a shed on there, one of those little sheds like the bait shop has. As long as it's under 200 square feet, you can do anything.
Okay, well, I don't want any issues, and I understand that what the whole situation is. I guess I'm just looking for a little guidance from the trustees on how they would prefer that I pursue this.
You knew that, and I think Kevin heard that too. We were all together, and
I'm not disputing that.
The best thing to do, we could put that for sale, sell it out here, and take that money and buy one of the smaller houses to move in there somewhere. The whole thing is, we can't have one, and then we're telling everyone else, that they can't have it. If we have one, and it doesn't make, it's not good.
So, what about from the time a shed comes, from now until the time a shed comes, would I be able to put that back there? Because this is a busy time. This is when I need it the most.
I think there's that much in it. Could we just leave it where it is and you could work out of it, or you want it?
I can move it back for you, Mike, if you need. Do I have a crane come in and move it?
No. Yeah. We haven't agreed to move it yet.
Well, but we've agreed that it's grandfathered in, and he can keep it. The zoning inspector just said it was grandfathered in.
I'd rather not see it there because just for the rules, it doesn't make us look good that we're telling everybody else that we got one there.
But the rule is it was grandfathered. Linda just said that.
I don't agree with her.
Mike, what about the possibility of asking the principal over there to use that old room off the back of the school? You used to use that before you had anything. That might be a possibility. Last time right when I left there was nothing that they had put in there. That was a blank slate, that old coal room?
Yeah, and I don't know if I really want to be tied to that because what if something would happen after hours or whatever? I just want to feel comfortable with that. And I remember when Lonnie left and I was there, we took all that stuff out of there right away because of that reason.
Okay, just a thought.
Mark, what is your thoughts on this?
Well, Mike, what are your thoughts about a building that you could use it as easy access and shelter, with side walls that would flip up or that you could take off? Is that something that would meet your needs?
Well, we did talk about that before, and it was brought up last week about doing something with the pavilion there. But then I think that takes some aesthetics away from that.
You mean a pavilion? You're concerned about the attractiveness of a pavilion?
Well, the one that we have out there now, I really don't want to take half of that to store my stuff in. I don't know if that's what you're getting at, but that's what we were talking about.
Right. Do you know how much, what you need with respect to square footage?
I don't know how big that thing is. I stopped putting the goalposts in there just because they're made to be outside. They can withstand the weather. But during the summer is when it's used the most. And usually I keep all the tools that I would bring and use on the field in there. Square footage wise, I don't know. The 200 I could make work for sure. Whatever I had, I could make it work.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the arguments all the way around, and technically, this was in place prior to the change in the zoning laws, so technically, yes, it is grandfathered. However, from the standpoint of our township leadership setting an example, it has, you know, how many people are going to stop and ask whether it was grandfathered or not? They're gonna look and say, oh, the zoning rule prohibits storage containers from going in. The township has one. People are gonna wonder to themselves, why is the township exempt? So I understand the argument for while we're not required to, it would be good for us to set a good example for the rest of the township. And so what I'm asking is, Mike, is there in the interest of setting a good example for the rest of our township, would a shed of some type, do you believe that would meet your needs? Would it be affordable, and would it be aesthetically pleasing?
The size of a 200 square foot shed would be adequate. I have no problem with that. If we need to get rid of it, to set an example, I am totally fine with that. I just would like to replace it with something. That was my main point.
Oh, yeah, I understand you're going to need something.
Yes.
Right. So
if it goes back there or not, I know Kevin said he took it off the trailer, so I'm able to get in it. To get the bases are in there, to get the bases out of there and get them set up. I'm able to do that. If it's some inconvenience for the next few months of me hauling the stuff back and forth, I guess that's what it is.
Well, so let me ask the other trustees as a compromise, what are your feelings about returning the storage container so that it's easily accessible by the rec team on a temporary basis while rec selects and orders a shed, and then with the expectation that once the shed is in place, then that will replace the storage container. And you know, Mike, you can probably advise us on what you think the timeline for that would be, because I realize that during your busy season, you don't want to be without some place to store your equipment. And if it's not on site, then yeah, that's probably going to be a bit of a hardship to truck the equipment back and forth.
Well, why don't we do this? If I'm able to get in and out of it now, which Kevin said I am, so I'm good with that. We would just leave it right where it is. I'm sure I can find something in the next couple weeks, at least look at them and get a price and get something going with that. I don't know if that's something you guys need to vote on or what needs to happen with it, but I want to put this thing to rest, believe it or not. And I just need for you to tell me what to do.
So let me ask, you know, Dave, Bo, is that, does that sound reasonable to you?
Oh, yeah. I think you should have been doing this a couple of months ago, but no problem.
Well, I would have done it a couple months ago, but when we brought it up in December, everything was tabled, so it was kind of out of my mind. I didn't know that, you know, that was the situation that I was going to go on any given day.
Well, and none of us can do anything about what's behind us, you know, what's in the past. So all we can do is move forward and work to resolve the situation. So, Dave, it sounds like you're in agreement with that resolution.
Yeah.
Okay. Bo, your thoughts?
It's whatever you guys are going to do. I still, to this, he's grandfathered in. They should stay, but I think you should take a vote on it and do vote on where it's at.
Do you want, I mean, what are your thoughts about the position of the township trying to set a good example for the rest of the township?
It was grandfathered in. I'm not trying to be, you know, a pain with it, but the unit was grandfathered in prior to 2017, like Linda said. You know, now we're going to have the rec department spend more money on a shed that they're going to put out there. You know, then, you know, to sell that Connex box, what do we have to do? Do we have to put that on an auction site? Do we have to, I mean, I know I think Dave said Ron got it for free, but it's now property of ours. Can we just set it out front for sale? Do we have to put it up as an auction bid? I don't know what we have to do with that aspect.
Just put it out for sale or put it on bid or whatever. Bay or whatever.
Because, I mean, technically, we can't really sell it to somebody in the township unless they're going to relocate it outside of the township.
Is Linda still on?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Linda. Could we, if we decided to, because I know at one time we talked about putting sandbags in it, since it technically moved, would it not fall under the grandfather since it's been moved, or would it?
Well, it's moved, so, you know, you got to remember that you could apply for a variance if you want to keep it behind the shed and use it for sandbags.
Yeah. All right, take a vote, Mark. I think just take a vote on it. We'll move on.
Let me ask one more question. Mike, what are your thoughts? What works the best for the rec board?
Just as long as I have something, I'm okay with that. I understand what everyone's saying. I totally agree with everything. Let's just get it done and move forward. That would be best. So whatever you guys want me to do, that's what I'll do. Period. I will never bring it up again.
Okay. All right. Well, let me offer a motion that Mike is indicated he's agreeable to selecting a shed that would be in compliance with zoning. And then that would, once that's in place, that would replace the, that would provide storage space in lieu of the storage car, the storage unit, the storage box. Sorry, Joel.
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller?
No.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, just one more bit about that. Whatever money that we would get from that shipping container, would I be able to apply that to that shed?
Yes.
Would it, excuse me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right, that's all I have. Thank you very much, and this thing's over with.
Mike, I have something. Linda Rossler.
Yep.
I got a letter. We've been trying to take the park and get it listed as a park. Okay. And I have had the worst time battling with the Ohio Department of Taxation as well as Lucas County. They have sent me another letter. I replied to this already once. So here's what I need from you. They're saying because on the auditor's site on Aries, it appears, and I know this is from like probably 2014, it appears that a portion of the property is farmed. Do you know exactly the last year that was farmed?
Oh, geez. Well, it's been tiled for 3 years.
No, we're talking that new part.
Yeah, the new part has been tiled for 3 years. It hasn't been farmed in at least that many.
So we can say 2016? Or no,
2017, I would say it was not. 2016 would be the first year that it possibly could, and I don't even think it was.
Do you, now we seeded that other side the following, or no, we didn't. It would have been tiled and it would have sat there for a couple of years, didn't it?
Yep.
All right.
And you know, and Linda, I don't know if this matters, but when I looked it up, the address is different. Does that matter at all?
No, when they pull it up, it still comes up.
Okay.
And they can see it. I just need to respond, and I figure it would be good if maybe a trustee could sign the letter that I'm going to send, because I already did respond once in regards to it not being farmed. And I know I leveled that. I'm pretty sure it was 2 years ago. And then it rained and I couldn't get it leveled anymore.
Sounds right.
So I'm going to say 2017. When do you know when we planted the grass?
There was nothing planted on that new side.
Yeah, nothing there.
Oh, so there's not there. We didn't even plant. We planted grass over there, didn't we?
No.
No. Okay. I guess the question would be: is could we find out when we tiled it?
I could probably call the FSA office up and see the last year it was planted.
Because if I don't give them the right date and they find some pictures, we're kind of.
I know there was a picture in the press when it was done. It might be in their archives. I remember me, Ron, and Dave, and Joe were out there, and we had our picture taken by Ron's wife when that was being tiled. I don't know how to go about looking that up.
Do you have any time?
I believe.
Is that?
What's that?
I believe we tiled it in 2016. It was planted with beans, and we tiled it while the beans were in there.
So there would have been beans in 2016, and then we tiled it that fall?
No, we tiled right through the beans.
Yeah, Kevin, do you remember?
So, Kevin, does that mean that 16 was the last year that there were... that it was farmed?
As far as I can remember, yes. Because once we tiled it, when those beans came out, I don't think anything was planted in there after that.
Okay. And does that meet your needs?
I think, if he's sure.
I agree with Kevin. Nothing was planted after that was done.
I do, too.
If you would like, I could try to get a hold of Ron Sheehan also and find out if his wife's got any record of when she took the pictures. That would be another avenue, plus with the press. And between the two, maybe we could come up with an exact year.
I got the FSA office, too, so I'll try.
All right. Anybody that can try, I can always send an email out and say we got it. I probably should send them some proof along with that. And if there is a picture of them tiling that in the press, that would be perfect. And then if the FSA has a document that I could send them. Because like I said before, I already responded to this once and told them that. But January 1st, 2016 to the present, that's what they want to know. So I can, I appreciate any of you giving me a response if possible.
I will look through some stuff and see if I have that picture. I might have that. I will, if I do, I will get with you. And I will get with you soon to make sure we get the exact right type of shed that we can get. So we'll take care of all that. I'll take care of that with you personally.
Okay. One more question though. The second question was use of the shelter house. What's a description of what we use that for?
We use it for just team gatherings. There are there has been parties out there. Nothing has been defined. Years ago, I gave Don the parameters for insurance. And the only thing we had in there that I could clean up from sun up to sundown, you clean up after yourself, and pets were to be cleaned up and taken, watched, or I forget the phrasing. But all that was turned into Don for the insurance purposes, and so we kind of, you know, that's the official usage.
So team gatherings and just basically it's public use?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I have to respond within 30 days, and the letter was dated on May 6th.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, if you need anything, just you call, you have my number.
Yep. Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, that's all I have too. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, Linda, zoning inspector report.
Okay, I sent you all my zoning update. It's been pretty active, lots of things going on. Maybe not that many permits, but a lot of questions, a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails. We have... there's a permit for a fence on Rachel Road. There's new construction going up on a fountain. It's actually where we had that water. There was a water issue that we had to take care of, and they're going to start building here soon. There's a house up on Lagoon, very close to Mark, that they don't have a permit pulled yet, but I talked with that contractor out of Columbus. And they're looking at starting up there soon. Mickey Marina is expanding their campground, and I know that I've been talking with Tony. They're extending it all the way. That's the old Flights Marina, extending it to Fleury. He's responded to the Plan Commission. I have to get my response in tomorrow. There's a couple issues that need to be addressed yet. But that's coming down, and then we have Lake Erie Tree wants to expand. They want to change their zoning behind the house from, it's zoned AR right now, and they want to change it to C2 and actually put a driveway behind the house. And I told them that that's mixing C2, that's mixing commercial and residential. Because once they go behind the house, they actually have a driveway in the middle of where they're going behind the house. So their plans are just to go around the house and keep going, which sounds good, but then it's mixing residential use. And if they ever sell the house where that just doesn't happen, you don't mix commercial and residential. We had that problem when they originally built. They wanted to build the house closer. So we have to deal with that as far as the zoning board goes. They did file for a modification. Mickey Marina also has to get a conditional use to put in a campground. So I've got to go through those two meetings and public notices. So you'll see those in the newspaper. I have the final violation notices. I have talked with Alex. He has been doing things. So I'm not at this time going to go forward with Mr. Stanton. We did receive receive a letter from the attorney, and they would like a 60-day stay due to the circumstances. I did contact the Oregon prosecutor because they copied her a response. And just to note, I sent letters to Mr. Stanton on 6/13 of 19, so that was last June. His second one went out in March 4th, and then our final notice went out on April 17th. So the prosecutor just recommended that we reach out to them and indicate that although we appreciate the letter, they failed to make any communication. I didn't hear anything from them until this fax came through on the copy machine. So they failed to make any communications during that period, but we'd be willing to give them 30 days. And then we visit to see where they are at with compliance. So unless we have any other thoughts on that, that's how I'm going to draft the letter to them to respond that way. So they requested 60, and we're going to offer 30.
That sounds reasonable in light of the environment with the COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, they had a whole year to work on it and didn't, but, you know, well, a little less than a year. So, yeah, I did.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's generous on your part, on our part.
Okay. Then, Mr. Zeech, I have not had a return response from his certified letter. So I thought I'd go ahead and draft a letter to send to the prosecutor to move forward with that one, if you think that's what we should do there.
So, Linda, let me make sure I understand. You are not required to wait for a response. You've made a thorough effort. Three attempts, and if there's no response, you are, it is okay for you to proceed to the next step.
Right, and with this one, it just is a letter that we end up taking it to court and having the prosecutor handle it done with their attorney. So yes, there's that. This is the next step, and I'm not required to do anything else. It would be just put it in the hands of the attorneys and the prosecutor.
Any feedback from the other trustees?
Okay. So I plan on drafting that and probably sending that out this week. Blighted structures. Okay, I know that have a prepared resolution for the properties at 263 Allsale and 267 Allsale to declare them insecure, unsafe, structurally defective, and unfit for human habitation. Just a note on that, I have not heard anything from that homeowner ever. I mean, he's gotten a couple a few years ago, and we kind of let it go. And so we are revisiting it. So,
does he live in Toledo?
He lives just over the railroad tracks on Corduroy in Oregon.
Well, okay. I don't understand why there's been no response, but okay.
He's very behind on taxes, too, right?
Okay.
It's one of those that, you know, you just think they just can't afford it. They can't do it, so they just let it go.
I see. Okay. Would you like us to proceed with those resolutions
howl during your inspector report?
Either way, you want to wait till later?
We
can do that.
That's okay. That's fine. We can do that. It's a little bit further down the agenda. Okay. Anything? Because there will be three resolutions, Linda.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you want to cover before we get there?
Yeah, I have a couple things.
Okay.
Just so you know, I've been working with the landowner is Paul Hancock. It's the north. It's right next to David's greenhouse. That little white house has three buildings. It's on the northeast corner. So they were supposed to start demolition last week, I think. We talked to...
I called the contractor, and he promised me that he would be there. But he hasn't.
So it's just encouraging to know that somebody else is taking the house down, and we don't have to pay for it. So that student should be gone. The junk vehicles, I have been working with Tony Rumstadt. He texted me again, saying that he has congestive heart failure and yada, da da da. But he promised me it would be removed yesterday. I think it's still there. That's the one by Elliston and Route 2, that last house there, the Dreyer Farm.
Dreyer Farm.
So we'll see. I offered to have it towed for him to Curtis Auto Parts, but he didn't respond to that. And then we'll do the resolutions on the other two junk vehicles. The other piece we have, the briefing filed. I think all of you received a copy of that brief from the attorneys in Columbus from our OTARMA. OTARMA, right?
Yep. Yes, correct.
And I haven't heard anything else.
Is there a timeline for response?
I think there is, but there wasn't on the brief, because I read over it again a couple days ago, wanting to know that if there was, and I didn't. There wasn't not a date on there. So I know they have so many days, but I don't know exactly what or how many that is. But it wasn't in our copy.
Okay.
The other thing about the comprehensive plan, the Lucas County plan, a lot of offices are now opening back up and people are going back to their offices and not working from home. And our planner, Bill Harbert, with the Plan Commission, I asked him again about our comprehensive plan, and he said this might be a great time to do that because he'll probably have time to work on it and help us work through it. So that's just an option I wanted to throw out there. I know that I worked through chapter 4 and 5 just to make it more user-friendly for a committee. And just to kind of see what needs to happen. So really the next step for our comprehensive plan is to create a survey and then to form a steering committee and just let them roll with having some public meetings and gathering information. So I just want to throw that out to you that if in fact we're going to move forward, we need to form a committee. And I think in the update I have, I put the 2001 committee members were there. A trustee, somebody from the Plan Commission, Lucas County, the zoning inspector, 2 BZA, 2 zoning boards, 2 business owners, and 1 resident. And then if we form a committee, I've talked to a couple people, and besides the breakdown of board members and trustee, and increase the residents to try to get a core, like a resident that lives in Curtis, a resident that lives in Reno, a resident that lives in Bono, possibly. So you've got the different areas in our township. So that was a thought by somebody I talked to, and I thought that was a good idea. So that's all I have from the comprehensive plan. I know I've been talking to Elvis Shepard, but I still want to throw out that I really think that a big use of him right now at this point would to make him the chair of that committee, and we can start rolling with that. But that's up to you trustees. You're the ones that appoint that committee. Other than that, that's all I have, unless you have some questions.
Linda, I got one for you. I know you and I talked or texted a little bit last week about Lake Erie 2 over there.
Yep.
So I know because you in the text basically you said, yeah, I'm working with them on it, but they do have a fill permit from us, you said? Or they never did get one? Because I know before they hauled in a bunch when they were building the place.
Yeah. I mean, have they filled? What they really haven't done is done a worked on their drainage. When you bring all that fill in, you're supposed to have your drainage and tie into their retention pond that they have on the east side.
Yep.
So have they done that? No. Have they put in their landscaping strip? No. I will tell you this, and if you ever see it again, they do have a permit for their wood burner. But I know that wood burner has caused some angst. I've gotten some phone calls on that. They do have a permit to burn clean, dry firewood. And the issue with them is they don't burn clean, dry firewood. They burn what's left over after they cut the firewood. They have that big machine that cuts firewood up and leaves a lot of chaff underneath. That's what they throw in there, and that's why there's a lot of smoke. So,
okay. I'm sorry. I guess, so two things. So one, my only concern is we don't know exactly what they're hauling in or where they're hauling it in from for their fill, correct?
Correct.
But they never filled out we don't have a fill permit, or they did. So one, we don't know what they're hauling in there. I mean, if they're hauling in possibly broken up buildings, you know, there could be asbestos in it. We don't know what they're burying. The second thing is, and I don't know, I know you, and the rule could have changed. You cannot haul dirt out of the township or off the property. How does that work?
It's supposed to be not off the property.
Okay. And I know that they hauled a bunch down to Joel's house, which was great, you know. But I did see a lot of Lake Erie trucks full of dirt going past the shop heading out of the township. So I didn't know, you know, I didn't know if that rule had changed or not. That was my question. So
it has not.
Okay. And I mean, I know they're not digging a pond. I mean, I think that's the whole reason is if you want to fill the pond back in, the dirt's there.
Yep.
But okay. That's all I had. Thank you.
Sure.
Bo, last time we had tabled a question that you had, I didn't know if you wanted to bring that up again.
What was it?
Regarding the zoning board.
You said that you had some discussion yet on that, and I was waiting on you to, whatever you guys were,
okay.
You were talking about.
I'm forwarding just a short document to you and David and Linda and Mike. And I thought, and we can maybe take a few minutes and step through it, see what your thoughts are. So the document that's coming through to you these are some thoughts of mine. So it starts out. I would encourage a proper balance of zoning enforcement, objectivity, compliance with county and state regulations, consistency, and reasonableness with respect to zoning. I believe zoning is a critical element in improving the attractiveness of our community in order to encourage growth and development. Clearly, I have heard, and I'm sure others in our community have heard from members of the community, that light is the top issue of concern. As trustees, we could be looking for ways to help the zoning department make progress toward the desired vision for our community. And I believe we can assist this by encouraging the following. Number one, help to focus the zoning department's work. Encourage zoning to create and refine objective criteria for identifying and ranking blight issues. Let me explain a little bit. I don't think we've got enough zoning resources to address all of the blight issues at once. So I think it's important to have some way of determining objectively which blight issues need to be addressed first, and then which ones then get addressed next. Second thought with respect to this is enforcement of issues following such objective criteria, that would be defensible. As long as we have some objective criteria and we're enforcing that criteria, that's easily defended, because one can point to, well, here's the criteria. Here's how we selected these blight issues and how they got to the top of the list. Number three, I would recommend an open and objective process for recruiting, interviewing, and selecting zoning board members. Given that, my thought is every time a seat reaches the end of its term, the township could repeat the process to ensure that the best candidate is selected to improve our zoning process and make progress toward our vision for the community. So my thought there is that, you know, the zoning board, the BZA, even the rec board, I think those are 5-year terms. You know, my thought is what if there's no automatic renewal? But when a term is up, we go through a process, recruit, invite applicants, and then go through an objective selection process from the applicants and choose the best candidate. That best candidate may be an incumbent, it may be a new applicant, but it's an opportunity to continue to see who's out there, what resources are available, and to try to make sure that we're selecting the best candidates for our committees, for our boards. Fourth, evaluation of the resources needed for zoning in order to achieve a level of progress of improvement that is both noticeable and acceptable to our community. Now, my thought there is that I think that there's enough blight and other zoning issues that Linda doesn't have enough resources and enough hours to get to all of those. So we may need down the line to discuss if we want to make faster progress, do we have to allocate more hours or get some assistance? And I think we can revisit that one to explore how might we approach that to try to address the need for additional resources. So, bottom line, I guess I'm recommending that there be no automatic renewal of terms for zoning board members, and I would invite comments on this could very well apply to the BZA and to the rec board as well. Which basically means that each time a term opens up, a new recruitment, interview, and selection process could be initiated for every seat that opens up at the end of its 5-year term.
Mark, I like that idea. I think it's the only way to get fresh ideas in, fresh views. Somebody, you know, may not have been available 5 years ago, but maybe they retired and now 5 years from now they're available, and they would be a good fit for a board, whether it's a zoning board or a rec board or something like that. So I do like that idea of doing an application process. It would take a little bit of time, a little bit of effort on the board's part, but it would be a fair, reasonable solution to running into the issues that we're into now. With, you know, a term comes up, we take a recommendation, we vote on it, yes, we vote on it, no. You know, we don't know who's out there in the township that's available. You know, 2 years ago, we didn't know you were available. You know, I mean, things happen, you know. That's my thoughts on it. I do like that idea.
Okay.
I can roll with that, too. It sounds pretty good to me. It's like Bo said, it takes a little bit more time, but we can always dig some different people out that way, and
Good. And below that, I offer some possible selection criteria that maybe that's just a starting point for how one goes about selecting board members. But those are just some thoughts that I'm throwing out there. You know, we obviously want to look to Linda for you know, ideas about how she would like to go about that. But I think that the board members that the board member we select, we probably want them to, not have any current or unresolved citations. We would want them to be able to serve as an ambassador for Jerusalem Township and the zoning department, and have attributes, talents that would benefit zoning and be a good fit with the township. So anyway, I offer that. So anyway, it sounds like the three of us are in agreement that it makes sense to go through. It's a little bit, you're right, Bo, it's a little bit more effort, but you're right.
Be well worth it.
There may be people out there that we're just not aware of, and if we go through some kind of a invitation recruitment process, we may have some pretty good talents stepping up, and then we can select the best individual for the seat.
Absolutely.
Linda, your thoughts? The burden for this with respect to zoning board really falls on you.
I think your idea is fantastic.
Okay. All right, so next steps, it sounds like we're all in agreement to proceed with using a process of determining what applicants might be out there and going through a selection process. And again, that probably mostly falls on Linda until she brings her short list of candidates to the trustees.
Well, I think that all candidates should be put in front of us. I mean, or the, you know, and then we could say, you know, if Linda says, well, if this one's got an issue here, we can sort that out that way. You know, I think that we should see them all.
Okay.
You know.
All right, Linda, how can we help you?
Well, give me some ideas as far as what your... we probably need, just like, you know, you do a job application and you have questions.
A questionnaire.
Yeah, something for them to fill out. Background information, you know, maybe a way to put a resume in there. We just need to decide what kind of process you want.
Okay, well, we can probably start with, I think there's currently an application that has the legally required elements, and then we could add some additional questions to gather more information, because I think we want to know things like what skills, experience, and talents would you have to bring to bear? what interests you about this? I mean, I think we can probably work through developing some potential questions to gather.
Yeah.
And we probably had to have Mike do the same for his zoning board, or his rec board. If,
right.
You know, we
Mike, you're still in line. You have any thoughts?
Yeah, I do. A couple things. We've had an issue just finding candidates. So usually when someone, the ones that we have, if they choose to continue, we're very happy to keep them because we don't have a pool of applicants.
Well, and this process would not prevent, I mean, this is not term limits. This process would not prevent an incumbent from serving another term. This would simply say you get the opportunity to evaluate all of the applicants and select the best candidate.
That I'm all aboard that. That's fantastic. Hopefully we can get more candidates. That would be great.
Yeah, and what we might want to do is put together some kind of a notice. I'm sure that the Suburban Press, there's a little bulletin board in the Suburban Press that we can put community notices in at no cost. We could probably insert something in there when we're beginning to recruit for
the marquee
board.
You know, we could put it on the marquee. We could put it on, you know, at those local stores.
Right.
I have a couple expiring in the next month or so. I'll go through that tonight to have all those dates.
Okay. And you can hold those folks over until you get candidates to choose from.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. And we could also use social media to get the word out too.
Great.
Okay. So, all right. In the meantime, I guess maybe we should all kind of put some thoughts down about what kinds of things would you like to know about applicants to try to then determine, first pass, who looks interesting and who would you like to actually bring in to speak to face-to-face.
Right. Okay.
All right. Great. Okay. Anything else, Linda, for zoning?
Nope, that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Okay, moving on. Kevin, maintenance department. Kevin, you're there. I don't have you muted. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
I had my phone muted, but on the phone, I'm still trying to figure it out, but starting out, I'll cover the roads first. With our last meeting, we had a conversation about whether to bid or not bid on the road, and we elected to try to put it out to bid and see if we got a decent price. With talking with Sarah Rowland, they are really close to putting it out to bid. I elected to have them put it out to bid for us. They're going to submit all the plans and everything electronically. What will happen is we'll get a notice, and we'll have to put it in the Blade. It'll have to run in the Blade. I believe it's two weekends or two publications. And typically, we usually run it like on a Sunday or something. And now with the Blade's printing schedule, it'll be basically up to when they're printing and when we can run it. So Sarah has not got back with me yet, but she was looking by the end of this month, possibly putting it out to bid. So if you guys have no objections with that, I'm just going to let her run with it until we get the other information.
That sounds fine. From my perspective, we still have the right to not accept any bids if we don't feel that any of them are reasonable. Is that correct?
Yes. And what will happen is the county will open all the bids, and review all the bids, and they will recommend to us who they, either the lowest bidder or who they recommend as far as the best contractor to do the job, and we will get a submission of all the bidders and their prices, which we only get a recommendation from them. It's still up to us who we go to, whether they pick the lowest price or the highest price. So it would be up to us. So. And we do have the option, like you said, that we can just decide at that point due to the current situation and presumed finances that will be coming in this year and next year, that we decided we wanted to just hold on to our money and we'll rebid it at a later date. So, and she was fine with that. So hopefully we get a good price out of it and we get more than just one bidder on it. So, and if there's no questions or objections to that, I'll move on.
Okay. Any thoughts, Bo or Dave?
I'm good with that.
No, I've been getting okay. The emails from Sarah, so I understand it all. There's no problem.
Okay. I agree as well. Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. The next thing I got as far as cemetery, I took in since the last meeting, we've had three funerals. Worked very well with two of the three funeral homes. We did have an issue with one funeral home after notifying all the funeral homes with the limit of 10 people by the governor, which he did not restrict funerals, but I took it as for basically me and our employee safety and the safety of the vault people that come out and work. I just notified them that we would allow 10 family members to attend a funeral. Well, the funeral home was informed of this, both of them, like 3 days prior, and they showed up to the cemetery with just under 40 people, and there was two people that wore masks, and there was no social distancing, which I had quite a discussion with the funeral director about it and told him that that was not going to happen again and basically was just sort of shrugged off a little bit. Well, since then, I've been called back by them and they have another funeral tomorrow, which when I talked to them yesterday, they were not willing to abide by the 10 people in the cemetery. It's up to you guys. I'll leave it open for discussion on what you want to do because the governor did not restrict numbers of people at funerals. So it's sort of a thing. Do we want to step out there and keep that with the loosening of the restrictions starting as of yesterday? One of the issues that I tried chasing down, and Mark was trying to help me today, is to get an opinion from the health department, which I really didn't get a specific answer from them. Secondhand, I got a little bit of information, but was advised to have one of the trustees tomorrow morning contact Kevin Pittock, because he is our township representative from the health department. He gets in at 8 o'clock in the morning, I guess. I didn't get a phone number, but to get a little advice from them. If we could get something by 9 o'clock, I could still inform the funeral home if there is any violation or anything. If we're going to just let them come in, you know, then I don't have to call them at all. But I did while I've been waiting here. I've been watching my phone. I did get a text from the funeral director saying they had talked to the family and they may have worked something out that may work for us. What that information is, I have no idea at this point. When I'm done, I will be calling them to find out what they're talking about. I guess if we allow 10 people to be graveside, the immediate family, the kids of the person and wife, I would be okay with that if everybody else stayed in their car or by their cars and we kept the social distancing. But really, it's your guys' decision. As the sexton, I stepped out myself and made the ruling to start with, which I've had no problem with the other two. They were great with it, and the families I dealt with the funeral services have been really good about it. But it's just with the one funeral home, I'm not getting a lot of cooperation at this point. So I guess I'm looking for a little more direction and one of the three to volunteer to call the health department in the morning and talk to him and try to get back with me if you would.
Kevin, this is Mark. I'm happy to try to reach Kevin Katak. Do you not have a spelling of his last name?
No, I don't. And my spelling, I'm sure, is nowhere near what it is. But that's who I was told that is our township representative.
Okay. I will try to contact him first thing in the morning.
Okay. And that'll work for me. And if you're going to make the contact, Mark, when I talk to the director tonight, whatever information I got, if you're okay with it, I can either call you or text you with that.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be agreeable.
Yeah, so, fine. Go ahead and give me a call when you, whatever you hear. Okay.
Okay. I guess the next thing I got is we're just working in the cemetery as we can. We're hoping, if not late this week, the beginning of next week, we're going to put in the footer orders that we have. Right now, I only have 4 that I know of, so we're going to install them 4 and try to have them in this year before the holidays. So that hopefully will be done at the very latest, maybe mid to late next week. We did pick up food for the food pantry today. It was a little different today when we picked up. They did have the National Guard down there, which helped load the trucks and stuff. We didn't have to do too much with it. So that was a little help down there. I did install the hand sanitizer at the station. Like Tony said, we put 3 dispensers at the fire station. They put 3 at the hall. There's 1 in each breezeway. 1 leading into the trustee's office. There's 1 in the main entrance for the hall where it leads into the meeting room. And the other one we put out in the shop. Today we did look up some old dispensers we had. I'm trying to locate a couple containers. And if I can find a couple empty containers, I'm going to put these old dispensers out and maybe put one in the kitchen. And I know the fire department also has a need for possibly at least 1 more fire station. So, but other than that, that's pretty much everything I got, unless you guys got something else for me.
I'm good. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Kevin, I'll back you on anything you do with, the numbers of people grave sites or whatever, you know.
Okay. I appreciate that. And one other thing with that last funeral we had from that funeral home, after the funeral director left, they broke out beer and started drinking beer. And I called for a deputy because, 1, they're on public property. 2, there's no alcohol allowed in the cemetery. We pick full beer cans up all the time on graves, but it was a little carried away. They wouldn't disperse, but by the time the deputy got there, we finally got them out of the way, and they'd all been leaving. But, yeah, it's just something that we shouldn't have to deal with something like that, especially during the situation we have right now. So,
right. Okay. All right. Kevin, I will get a hold of you tomorrow morning as soon as I can. Yeah, reach the health department, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Anything else, Kevin, before moving on to trustee reports?
Nope, that's it. If everybody's done with me, I'm going to try to get a hold of the funeral director and return a few calls I've had here. So,
Kevin, if you can hang on for maybe 1 or 2 more minutes, Sure. So if you can be here for questions. So to let everybody know, for the cemetery drive, our access permit was denied April 21st. We've submitted our variance request. That was submitted on April 28th. And then the 14th, which is Thursday, the county commissioners, or the county will meet for that hearing to hear our variance request. So I expect to hear something back sometime on or after the 14th of May about that drive. And then Kevin, if you want to speak to phase one and phase two, the pond and leveling the property.
All right. Right now we have 56 graves left in the cemetery to sell. Yep, we still got a little bit of time, but with what we presently have going on, those could possibly go very quickly. Yet I've sold some of them here in the last month. I've sold like six. But as far as that, we got to reach out and get a price as far as what the pound's going to cost. I do have one guy that we talked to before. I'm going to get a hold of him. I know they got a few jobs going on, but I'm going to get him over to just give us an estimate on what he would charge, since we got some stuff from the county on what we're looking at. That'll give us a little better idea, and he can give us a little more of an accurate price. Then we can decide as far as budgetary, what can we afford to possibly do yet this year with the pond and the dirt, and can we go beyond that? Because if we disturb too much of the dirt that's in there, it's going to be really hard to bury anybody in there for a couple years because of all the disturbed dirt. So when I get the price, obviously I'm going to bring it to you guys and let you look at it, and we try to make a plan of how far we want to go. But from the previous price we'd had when Joey Kiss was here, a price we were given then, if that price holds or pretty close to that, I think we have enough money to do the pond and all the dirt work this year for sure, and possibly even the underdrainage. So that would be a very big step, and possibly with letting all the draining settle out until next year, then go in next year and try to get the grass in, then start pinning graves and stuff like that. So that's pretty much where you'd be in that first phase and the second phase of it, if we can afford to do it. And that short of phases, we may have to stretch it out to a third phase depending on money.
Okay. Well, good. I'm excited that we're going to be able to make some progress.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. All right, Kevin. Hey, thanks very much. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, on to hall rentals. Bo, right? We have no rentals through May yet.
Right. We're holding steady.
Okay. All right. David, any issues on roads and bridges?
No, nothing the last 2 weeks, really, no.
Okay, great, thanks. Okay, old business, the ditch petition to Kent, that's still on hold.
Yep.
Number two, the Lucas County budget cuts. Some thoughts here. I did run this past Kevin. I want to run it past you, Bo, and David. David, you talked to the sheriff, and he invited anything that any community was willing to do to help them to close their budget gap so that they could maybe continue the road patrols. One thought is, what about inviting the sheriff deputies that are patrolling our township to refuel from our tank? Any thoughts, gentlemen?
We were going to do this eight years ago, and I don't know, it just got left go, and nobody said anything, and the sheriff said that he would always take care of us out here, and I don't know what happened, but we even had a levy on, you know, and that went down, of course. It takes about $450,000 to $500,000 to run one every year, so the sheriff's department. So I would go along with it. I would hope that the commissioners would come to us and tell us what they're really going to do, so we could offer this to them. I just don't want to maybe give it to them, and I think there should be some talk here back and forth, I would hope.
Well, and I agree with you, Dave, 100% on that. That was last week. Was it the last thing we had the sheriff, the captain's on, Mark, for the last week?
Yes. Yeah, that was the 28th.
Yeah, Captain Lucky.
Right.
So, yeah, John Tharp had called me and said that, yeah, if we could help with fuel, that would be huge. I know that would be a good face to him, because he said the commissioners cannot yank road patrols. It's not up to them. It's up to him, but they can cut his budget.
Well, he has to. So.
Yeah, they can cut his budget, so then he has to do something. So he did say that the fuel would be a huge help for him. He was unaware when I told him that they don't even fuel at our location anymore, that they do at the local gas station. He was quite shocked by that. And I had told him to get me some numbers of what does the road patrol use for fuel out here a year. And that would give us a baseline of, you know, what they thought. So, and I've not heard back from Sheriff Tharp yet.
Yeah, we have to figure this out too, because it actually, if we get the Shell or Joe's, maybe the sheriff would sign in, and it's better for them to buy it there. Is we don't get a deal dumping it here. I mean, we might pay 10 to 20 cents more, you know, here. So we have to figure out something, too, if we do this.
Yeah, we definitely want to get the best bang for our buck with the fuel. So.
Yeah.
But I was waiting to hear back from him as far as dollars, amount, or gallons that they use.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
I can reach back out to them, try and get a hold of them.
Like we should revisit this topic next meeting then and see what you've heard back from the sheriff.
Yeah, I'll try and reach out to them.
You know, maybe we should even talk to a deputy and see how often they fuel the cars up. They, you know, he probably doesn't even know, you know, the sheriff really what their usage is. I bet money on it, you know. We might get more out of the, you know, the patrolman out here. See what I mean?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Yeah, just, you know.
Okay, very good. Next is Brown and Trinow, the purchase order for the backflow preventer.
Yeah, so finally Brian Miller got back with me, called, they were going to do it, they had Grottles out there. They got the quote from Grottle, it's $6,500. They were all set to go and do it, and Brian Miller calls me and says, we got a little bit of a problem. He goes, for some reason this year, when we did your stormwater agreement, he can no longer pull from our money. We have to send the PO over to Grottle. But
we
we
have to do it.
Yeah, he said before he was able to do it, but this year he can't. So he said that we got to pay, then we just send the bill in and we get reimbursed for it. So
we've always did it that way.
Yeah. So I had talked to Fred over at Grottles last week, and he just was looking. He'd like to have a PO from us to go ahead and get this going, because it's going to be about, I think he said about 8 weeks before they even get the backflow preventer.
Okay.
So
can we use stormwater monies for this?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so I got it right here from Brian Miller. So here's a quote from Grottles. You need to contact Fred Sanders of Growl Company and set up the work order or PO to pay them directly, and we will reimburse you through the Joint Cooperation Drainage Agreement for 2020.
Okay, great.
So does Joel do the PO?
I believe so. Joel, are you still there?
Yeah, I just need the exact amount and company.
$6,500.
Well, send me all that information because I need it, you know,
okay.
A record of it.
I'll email it to you tomorrow.
And then I'll have the purchase order number. And I can, the purchase order has to be signed by everyone, so and then I can scan that purchase order, and that can be sent to whomever.
Okay.
You know, it's not, okay. No problem.
Yep. All right, Joel. Yeah, Joel, you like you usually do. You can just let us know that there's something to be signed, and we can swing by whenever we can. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Great. Okay. Any other old business? Hearing none. Moving on to new business. Okay, so we have three resolutions here. Resolution with the terminal digits of 02. Joel, you've got these in your email.
Yes.
This is a resolution to demolish the structures located at 263 Elsdale and 267 Elsdale. The Jerusalem Township Fire Department has inspected the properties at these two addresses. They're the same owner. Determined that both structures are insecure, unsafe, structurally defective, and unfit for human habitation. The rear segments of the roof are collapsing, and the masonry stack is separating from the structure, which could create a hazard. The Jerusalem Fire Chief has recommended that both properties in question be torn down as soon as possible. The fire department has added these addresses into their CAD system under a red structure, which is an exterior attack only, and no one's allowed to go inside because of the danger. And therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of all the members elected that it's necessary to approve the demolition of these structures in the interest of public safety. Is there a motion to adopt this resolution?
So moved.
That's Bo, okay.
Second it.
David seconds it, okay. Thank you. To you, Joel.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Resolution adopted.
Excellent, thank you. All right. Resolution with terminal digits of 03. This is a resolution to abate junk vehicles at 11981 Corduroy. And there, the Ohio Revised Code defines a junk motor vehicle as 3 years old or older and apparently inoperable or extensively damaged. Our zoning regulations consider junk vehicles as blight, and there's language in the zoning regulations addressing that. The zoning inspector has inspected this property at this address and determined that junk vehicles are present and must be abated. There's two vehicles, a GM Achieva SC and a Ford F-150. The zoning inspector has sent notices of violation to the property owner on two different dates, October 7 of 19 and March 18 of 2020, and the property owner has not taken the necessary steps to abate these junk vehicles. Therefore, be resolved by the Board of Trustees that the Board of Trustees declares this to be a public nuisance in violation of the Jerusalem Township zoning regulations, and approves the request to send final notice of formal orders to the property owner via certified mail, and if the vehicles are not abated within the 14-day period, then to contract with a towing company to remove the junk vehicles. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
I so move.
That's David. Is there a second? A second? Okay, Joel?
I keep hearing a lot of shuffling. I'm having trouble hearing. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay. I think David made the motion and Bo seconded.
Okay. Roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Resolution adopted.
All right, thank you. All right, the last resolution has terminal digits of 04. This is a resolution to abate junk vehicles at 558 Beachview. It references the same junk motor vehicle classification in the Ohio Revised Code, the same zoning regulations that consider junk vehicles as blight, the zoning inspector for Jerusalem Township has inspected the property and determined that junk vehicles are present. There are, and must be abated. There are three vehicles, a red Jeep Comanche, a green Dodge Durango 4x4, and a red Dodge Dakota Sport. The zoning inspector has sent notices of violation to the property owners, and the property owners have not taken the necessary steps to abate the junk vehicles. Therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township declare this to be a public nuisance in violation of Jerusalem Township zoning regulations and approve the request to send final notice of formal orders to the property owner via certified mail, and if the vehicles are not abated within the required 14-day period, to contract with a towing company to remove the junk vehicles. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
So moved.
That's Bo. Here, second?
Yes.
David seconds. Okay, to you, Joel.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Resolution adopted.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right. Item number four, township roof leaking repair estimates. I think that's yours, David, right?
Yeah. The Dan Schroeder emailed me today, and I'll have all the estimates Friday, he said. He also said that Kevin's probably off, but I'll have to talk with him tomorrow morning. But they saw hail damage on there. So I don't know if we can, I'll have to call Otarma and see if we can go back. That was probably 2 years ago.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I'll have to see if we can get anything for that, maybe possibility. But okay. I'll have them all by Friday.
Very good. Thank you. I'll keep this on then for next time.
Yep.
Okay, number five, Joel, Otarma 2020 renewal, a review of changes.
At this time, I have not received any workup from anyone else, so the sooner we can get that to me, the sooner I can submit that to Wendy to give us our final cost for the year.
I did speak to both Chief Tony and Kevin, and they both indicated that they had reviewed, Dave, did they send their comments on to you?
No, I don't think so.
Chief, are you still on the line? Chief Tony, I can see you on here. Okay. All right. Okay. Joel, yeah, we'll have to reach out to both gentlemen and ask them. For their additions and deletions to the list of assets.
Okay.
All right, Jerusalem Township Unlimited Pickup. I did have some discussion with Republic. They have resumed regular operations, as we mentioned in the last meeting. They originally proposed to do an unlimited pickup on a Saturday. I went back to them and said that the other trustees had really urged that we do it on a regular pickup day, which would be Thursday and Friday for us. They have agreed that they could do that. Their tentative date is June 18 and June 19. They did ask if there was anything going on in the township. I said, not that I'm aware of any streets closing, parades, or anything like that. You know, the only thing that we would normally see is Curtis Kids Day, but that's normally on a weekend. Wouldn't be a Thursday, Friday. So, is anybody aware of anything unusual on June 18th and 19th?
I even hate to tell you this. I'm so involved in this meeting, and I didn't tell Ray not to do anything with.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, this is great, Mark. I really like that on the pickup days. That seems to work really well.
Okay. Bo, are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I think I agree with Dave. It worked out really good last year. That I think that it gave the scrappers 2 days to come around and get as much as they could, which knocks down our tonnage.
Right.
And you know, it was all done and cleaned up by the weekend. There weren't big piles. It worked out really well last time. I hope that Republic can repeat that, because All-Star did a fantastic job last year.
Okay. All right, very good.
I think it helps, too, that, you know, like Friday night, all the people from Toledo would bring stuff out, too, you know?
Yep.
Saturday, and so I think this works out to help that, too, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Good. All right. That's fine. I will follow up with them and tell them that we are very much in favor of that, and when they finalize it, then I'll get back, let you know, and we can put that out on the site and then communicate that to the community.
Yeah, the sooner the better. I've been getting a lot of calls on it.
I've got a few as well.
Yeah, right. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, it's going to be probably the first or second week of June, somewhere in there. We're not.
Yeah. Right. With all this time at home, everybody has cleaned out their garage, and boy, did they want to get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one, I was contacted by one of our residents who is expecting a stimulus check, and he said, you know what, I want to give part of that to others in need. So I promised him I'd bring it to the meeting and ask if anybody has any guidance in terms of how to go about identifying opportunities for this resident, and possibly, you know, anybody else that may wish to donate a portion of their stimulus monies to help out others.
I think the food pantry would be the easiest, you know, for it to go to, probably.
Okay.
I agree. Give it to the food pantry. Let them distribute the food. I think that's a good idea, too. That's
very good. Okay, will do. Thank you. All right, I will let them know about that. Next, the Ohio Emergency Management Association has contacted the Lucas County Emergency Operations Center, and the Ohio EMA is distributing 1 million face cloth coverings throughout the state on a per capita basis. And these face cloth coverings are meant to be utilized by local government employees. So Lucas County is asking all of the local governments to tell them what's the approximate number of employees for our organization, so they can then send us a number of these. So I'm assuming that these would be used whenever our employees would be interacting with members of the community in their jobs. Linda, what? Let me ask zoning. Are you planning on doing virtual for a while, for some time, or would you want a supply of face cloth masks for board members?
We have not discussed it. Could we do a face-to-face meeting? We never have more than 10 people, typically.
With the board members and visitors?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I'll just do a quick count of employees and board appointees, and then just turn that figure in. Everybody okay with that?
Yep.
Okay. Any other new business? none. Is there anyone that wishes to address the board for public participation? All right, hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
It's David.
I can second that.
Oh, Bo second at 9 p.m.
Wow.
Okay, next meeting is 2 weeks from now, May 26th, 7 o'clock. It'll be on Zoom, virtual meeting, and the link is already out on the website, township website calendar. All right?
See you later.
Thank you, everyone. Stay safe. 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 Safe.